so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. I want you to go with me this evening to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Reading from the English Standard Version. Why? Because I want to. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us. Now, I can't go by this scripture knowing that young Christians, and when I say young, that you haven't been saved long, young Christians sitting in this crowd, sometimes you wonder, well, why can't I do this? Or why should I avoid this? It's not sin. But sometimes, if it's not a sin, sometimes it's a weight. And a weight will weigh you down to where you can't enjoy what God has for you. Let me put it in some perspective that maybe you can understand. Don't point at them and don't raise your hand. Well, you can raise your hand that you know somebody. We're not necessarily talking about your spouse. But we all know men who struggle in their marriage because they think that they married their mama. Yeah, see, the women just laughing. Woo, good Lord, I want to point right now. Thank you for it. It's a weight, right? And there's some women who have not left father and cling to their husband. Whew. It's tough, ain't it? It's going to get tight before it gets loose. It's all right. Every weight is not necessarily a sin. However, every sin is certainly a weight. That clings so closely, and let us run with, there's that four-letter dirty word, endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. The new King James Version says, the author and finisher of our faith, but I like the way it said, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God bless your word tonight. And let us leave this place better because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you for just a few moments on pursuing spiritual growth. Pursuing spiritual growth. Now, you here on a Wednesday night, more than likely you saved. If you ain't, we'll give you an opportunity. But most folks that come on to church on Wednesday night are usually saved folks. So, but the problem is we get saved and then we go, what's next? Well, what's next is you need to begin to grow spiritually and become, and you need to pursue spiritual growth. Well, I want to. Okay, what are you doing about your spiritual growth? Well, I'm here, aren't I? Well, that's weak, though. Because, you know, just because I've had a subscription to Anytime Fitness. And I drive by it several times a week. And ain't done jack for me. Right? Matter of fact, I even went there a few times. You know, of course, you know, when I first started, I went there and did the thing. But then I would go by there and make a plan for tomorrow when I come by. Yeah, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Yeah, that machine right there, I got to find out how to use that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to use that. I ain't never going to use that machine. But tomorrow, I'm going to use that. And tomorrow never came. Right? But so some of us, though, we come to church, and that's good. That's good that you come to church. And prayerfully, I'll say something through the Holy Spirit through me or through the song or through somebody something. You will get something. But that's not all of it. We've got to learn how to pursue spiritual growth. Because I'm going to tell you what. It's really aggravating when you know you should be able to do something, but you can't. And usually it's because you don't know how to do it or know any better. See, here's the problem. We've got caterpillars all over the place. But in their mind, they're thinking, I should be flying. But what they don't understand at this time, that it's going to take some time and go through a process, and eventually you're going to be able to fly like a butterfly. Amen? So pursuing spiritual growth, let me give you four things real quickly tonight. It's very simple. I just felt this afternoon as I was contemplating what to say tonight. I want to give you four things to do. Number one, drop your guard. Well, don't push me. Oh, blaming it on the new guy. Way to go, Broderick. Yeah, other people will want to train with you. Yeah, way to go. Every time something bad happens. Just like the devil. Anyway, drop your guard. You're never going to learn anything unless you can at first admit that you need help. And I think that's one of the biggest problems, even in Christendom, is that we won't admit that we need a little bit of help. We won't admit that, yeah, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not sure what to do next. And then, you know, but here's where the Christians mess up, is I'm not sure what to do next, so what do I need to do next, but I don't need anything to inconvenience me. Right? I mean, listen, let me just tell some of y'all. Let me help y'all save your $89.95. There ain't no such thing as a pill that'll help you lose weight while you sleep. That thing would be a number one bestseller on the market anywhere, bar none, period, if it worked. All right? Well, some celebrities endorsed it, Pastor. Well, bless their little pea-picking heart. Spiritual growth and pride don't mix. And so if we're going to grow spiritually, then we got to drop our guard and quit thinking that everybody's out to get us. All right? That there are some people who want to help you. There are some people who genuinely like you and genuinely love you. So quit being so hard to like and so hard to love. Right? So, but the thing is you've got to drop that guard. And so many of us, we just don't feel like we need any help. Because we say, well, I'm saved. What else do I need to do? You need to grow spiritually. You know, because it's get tiring. How many of you were glad when your children got out of diapers? Woo! There's a couple of y'all like, no, I wish mine was still there. Well, whatever. If you enjoyed changing diapers, we got a few babies we'll let you do it with. Everybody enjoyed it when your children got out of diapers. I remember when my oldest came to my wife and said, Mom, could I help load the dishwasher at like 5 or 6? I just walked away. Oh, child, you have no idea what you just did. But the thing is if we don't admit that we need some help, then you're never going to get help. You know, we could talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. We could talk about drug addiction. Until you declare that you need help, you're never going to seek help. And until you declare that, you know, I don't know everything. I know that's going to be hard for some of you. I don't know everything. I'm telling you, when I learned the phrase, and I wasn't afraid of the phrase, as a pastor, when people ask you spiritual or theological questions, when I learned how to go, I don't know. Set me free. Because before then I thought I had to know every question, every answer. And man, you don't. But you need to understand that there is help for you. So if you're looking to gain a deeper spiritual understanding of God's glorious power, then you got to first learn to remove yourself from the picture and allow the Holy Spirit to consume you. Put your guard down. You know, and we're a Pentecostal church, in case you didn't know. But what does that mean? That means that on the special night, we handle snakes. No. I don't know where people on the internet, I don't know where people get this from. It's not us. But it does mean that we do speak in tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the flow of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is some of us are scared to let our guard down because we like to be in control. And some of the things that you, the best thing that you can do is get out of control with God. The best answer for some of you is lose control. Well, I don't want to look like that person. Well, you probably ought to look like that person. Because if you look like that person and you worship that way that person did, then maybe you wouldn't be all tight and bound up all the time. When you begin to realize, when you put your guard down and you say like we sung tonight, here I am, God, with arms wide open and heart abandoned, do whatever you want to do. It changes the dynamics of your relationship. Because that's what God wants. See, take a step back and trust in the promises of God's word. You know, I'll never forget my first pastor. We were praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I asked this one young girl, I said, baby, you want the Holy Ghost? She goes, I'm not sure. I said, what are you not sure about? She said, well, you know how it does my daddy. And I'm not sure I want to act like my daddy. Come on, somebody. But that's what some of the best things that we need. You know, if you go through, well, I don't like to be in control. But even psychologists tell us that everybody from time to time needs a catharsis. And a catharsis is just a good cry. Now, we men are like, not me. Who? Oh, you wimp? You sissy? I don't need it. That's a little... I don't. I don't need. Everybody from time to time needs one. And you know what, man? It is just like refreshing. Pastor, do you get them? I'll have them from time to time. When I thought Roger was going to steal my Snicker, I almost had one over there on the corner. But we all need those, and everybody needs to lose control from time to time. Because we've become a controlled people. You know, I did some drugs. I'm not giving the devil no due. I did some drugs in my time. I didn't do a lot of hard drugs. Why? Because I like being in control. And I didn't realize that until I did a funeral just a couple of years ago. And some of my cousins were there and I made that statement. I go, I don't know, I just don't like being in control. And one of my cousins in the funeral said, you've been that way all your life. I said, shut up, boy. Ushers, remove them. No, I didn't. But I like that. So for me to even get out of control, it is something out of my comfort zone. But all of us need that to go deeper with God. Because you got to recognize that you can't control everything around you. So take a step back, strip away your fears and your skepticisms, and open your heart to be radically altered for the sake of spiritual transformation. That's what you need to do. I don't care how it looks. Just God, whatever you want to do, do it. Here's what one guy said. He said, to deny oneself is to be aware only of Christ and no more of self. To see only him who goes before and no more the road which is too hard for us. Once more, all that self-denial can say is, he leads the way, keep close to him. Can I tell you today? That put your guard down, keep close to God, and do whatever he says do, and just be open to what God wants to do in your life. Number two, serve God, serve people. Serve God, serve people. Notice I didn't say serve God, not people. I said serve God, serve people. Well, listen to me. I don't have a problem with me and God. Me and God never have a problem. Unless he's convicted me about something, which happens quite often. My issues come with people. All right? Well, y'all just like so holy. Bless y'all little heart. I don't have, me and God don't have a, I don't have a problem with God's word. I don't have a problem with God's spirit. I don't have a problem with God's worship. I just have a problem with other people. But I want you to know that because it is God's will. If we're going to seek spiritual purpose and we're going to go deeper in God, then we've got to serve people. Well, I don't like people. Welcome to the club. I used to not like people either. I mean, I love people now. Everybody? Yes, I love everybody. Do I like everybody? No. I had to stop today, and this woman came. How you pull in to this parking lot with the slots going this way? She came up this way. I went, really? And then she went around and came back the opposite way of the next one. And I thought to myself, boy, if I wasn't a pastor and everybody knew who I was, I'd like to tell her about her driving. That aggravated anybody else? Oh, yeah. Thank y'all. Oh, yeah. You know, she didn't even throw up one of those, I know, I'm a dork. You know. If she'd have threw one of them up, I'd go, okay, they're a dork, I understand. But that didn't happen. She looked at me like I was doing something wrong. Serve God. That's the easy part. Serve people. But pastor, I've been hurt by people. Yeah, join the club. Join the club. If you serve people, man, anybody who works in the retail, oh, baby. You know, how about folks who work as a waitress or waiter? Uh-huh. Some of the worst people to wait on are church people. And let me just go ahead and give this public service announcement since I'm giving them. If you ain't got enough money to leave 18% of your bill at the restaurant, then you need to go to a restaurant that don't take tips. They get paid. No. I'm telling you, some folk getting a bad name. I had somebody the other day at Denny's. Some of y'all go to Denny's a lot. Told her mama, them church people are the worst tippers in the world. That's sad. Well, they ought to work for their money. I agree. But still, do what is right. It's sad that a drunk is a better tipper than a Christian. Because they don't know any better. Well, maybe so. But you know. And don't be leaving no track talking about here's your tip. Boy, I'd throw that track right inside your head. Here's a tip, don't go to hell. That ain't no tip. Well, I'm just serving. No. Serve God, serve people. So you got to serve people. People, as the dear old brother Lanier would say, brother, people are funny, but not always in the ha-ha kind of way. And that's so true. I never dreamed I would quote him so much. My Lord. But it's so true. People are hard to serve, but that's who God saves. Listen, the chairs aren't going to be saved. People are going to be saved, right? So we've got to learn to serve people. Now, I'm not talking about you've got to be a doormat. See, some Christians, they go to the extreme. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a doormat. I serve people, but I don't do everything you say do. Are you listening to me? You know, that's like the old boy said. One boy said, are you sanctified? The one boy said, I think so. And son, the old boy just, the other boy hit the guy who said he was sanctified right upside the head. The boy that was hit got up and whipped the daylights out of the boy. And when it was all over, he was walking away and the guy laying on the floor bleeding. He said, I thought you said you were sanctified. And the guy who beat him up said, I thought I was. When you serve, you must understand the reality that everyone has is from a God place first. That everybody that you serve, we got to serve them from a God place first. Does that make sense? But the problem is, no matter the way one will find themselves serving the cause of Christ, selflessness must play a role if we hope to find a deeper understanding in our spiritual journey. That we've got to understand that selflessness is part of it. If we want to be great in the eyes of God, then we've got to be the servant to more people. Amen? Well, Pastor, what do you mean serve? Just what we're already doing. Feeding the hungry. Serve. Parking cars. Opening the doors. Being friendly to people. You know, that's just serving people. Do you know it costs nothing to be friendly? It costs absolutely nothing to be friendly. I mean, nobody likes to be around somebody who is mad all the time. And if you know Jesus, you shouldn't be mad. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? The point of serving God is not to be blessed by God, but to grow closer to Him in the process. Listen to me. I promise you, as you serve God, you're going to get closer to God. Why? It's just automatic. It happens. Because you're doing what God's called us to do, and that is to submit ourselves one to another. But the problem is we go, but Pastor, I just feel so used. Well, sometimes that happens. And do you think, let me ask this question. Do you think the people who have dealt with you have never felt abused or used by you? If everybody was still in this church whom I personally have helped, this place would be packed to capacity tonight. If this place was filled with everybody this church has helped, we'd have to have the overflow opens and the balcony in. But do we stop doing it? No. Why? Because we're not serving it just for people. We're serving because God. We're doing it as unto God. See, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do whatever God's called us to do and let God sort out the reward. Amen? So serving God, the church, and the needs of others is to do that of Jesus. That's what He did during His time here on the earth. So one of the principles of true religion, Christianity, if you will, is to lose no occasion of serving God. And since He is invisible in our eyes, we are to serve Him in our neighbor. And let them see Jesus in us. You ever meet people and then they find out when if they say something about Christian, all of a sudden you know, they get all Christian all of a sudden? Oh yes, hallelujah. Once they find out you're a Christian, everything changes. I mean, they're putting swear words out there and everything. I love doing it to people. Because, I mean, you know, everybody I deal with ain't saved. Wait a minute. Don't you deal with most folks in the church? Like I said. But no, I don't just stay in my office all the time and wait for people to come by. I live in the real world, too. And I'm trying to serve God by serving others and witnessing to others and win souls. Amen? So you know, I do this all the time. There's this particular place that I go sometimes, and most of the guys know me, but see, every once in a while I go in there, and man, they'll be thinking, you know, putting these swear words everywhere. I don't take my Bible out and start slapping people upside the head. You foul mouthed devil. Come out in the name of Jesus. No. But what's so fun, I love it when somebody finally says, hey man, hey. What? Man, that's the preacher. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Father. If it's happened once, it's happened 25 times. And I always do this. They go, oh, I'm sorry, Father. I said, bless you, son. Why? Because I just like messing with people too. Amen. So, I have no idea where I was going with all that, but yeah, serving your neighbor. Serving your neighbor. Don't become religious or, you know, all of a sudden you're a Christian because now they know you're a Christian. You know, I rarely introduce myself, and many of you know, I rarely introduce myself to you when you're new here at the church by going, hello, I'm Pastor Reed, the lead pastor, senior pastor. How are you? No, I go, hey, Ronnie Reed. I figure you'll figure it out. I'm the preacher. If you don't, you're pretty dunce. If you've been here for a long time. One service you might not figure it out because maybe I'm not here. But anyway, all right, so go over with me one time. One, you got to drop your guard. Two, you got to serve God and serve people. And that's the hard one to do. Serving people is hard to do. Because again, remember, it's easy to wash people's feet you love. Can you wash people's feet who's done you wrong? And those are usually the ones you need to wash. All right. Number three is this. Love without limits. Love without limits. Now, man, even when I wrote this today, when I love without, it's like, oh, man, there's going to be some dudes there today that's gonna, you know, just ain't going to get this part. Love without limits. I mean, because I'm not talking about this little mushy, mamby-pamby, you know. My wife's on campus, but so... Let me get over here with Sister Cap. She's going, bless him, Lord, bless him. Lord, just place angels in front, guard his lips, Jesus. Just shut him if he's going to say something bad. I know you do. That's why I come back here by you. But I hate seeing little wimpy, limp-wristed, Christian, quotation mark, men. You know, I don't like that. You know, just, oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm like the one Jamaican. There's a Jamaican man who's, and I understand some men have, you know, an effeminate whatever. You know, doesn't mean that they're gay. They're just a little effeminate. That just doesn't happen to be in my gene pool. This one guy in Jamaica, I'm going deeper in. In Jamaica, this guy was dancing, he was shouting like a woman. I don't know what that was. But then one of the pastors came over, he said, my God, man, shout like a man. Shout like a man. I don't know what that was. Like, I would have loved to have seen that. But, you know, I would have loved to have seen that. But love without limits. I'm talking about love enough to tell you the truth. Love you enough to get in your grill and fight you out of a bad habit. Get in loving you enough to tell you the truth and not sugarcoating it. Loving you enough to say, no, I can understand where you're at, but what you're doing is not right. And I've got to stand for the truth of God's word. And God's word says thus, thus, and thus. And that's what we've got to do. Love without limits. Now, I know I said men, but men and women have to love without limits. And just because I love you doesn't mean that I have to agree with you. Just because I love you doesn't mean that I have to condone what you're doing. And you can call me old-fashioned. You can call me a bigot. You can call me a homophobic. Whatever you want to call me. But I love you, but I still refuse to love the sin that you are in or anybody else is in, because God doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner, but he still hates the sin. So I will love you without limits. We love because Christ first loved us. When it comes to us showcasing that love to the people around us, we got to use every opportunity to and available to us to demonstrate that. Now we see in the Bible that the love of God was shown through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This love without limits sufficient for all people, done without anything expected in return. And that's the heart, isn't it? In the same way, see, because if you let it, when you serve people, and then it's not reciprocated, you will get upset, and then you will blame God. But if you do it for the right reasons, God, I'm going to do what I need to do, and then you keep score. Because I don't want the reward from that person. I want the reward from God. Because God will always reward. He said that them that seek Him, that diligently seek Him, will find Him. And they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so if He rewards me, I don't care what anybody else does for me. I don't care what other people might do. If I do it for God, then God shall repay. Because God is not a man that He should be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let me just tell you that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. If He has said it, you can take it to the bank. It will come to pass. Hold on to His unchanging hand and His unchanging word. We got to engage in a lifestyle of loving our neighbor. In showcasing this love, we find ourselves gaining a deeper understanding of who Jesus was. Why? Because to know God is to know God is to know love. And again, I tried to put it another way, but I just couldn't. To know God is to know love. Love doesn't mean that, you know, we get mama's love. Mama love, don't, you know, you don't do no harm. You don't do no wrong. A mama's love, you good looking when everybody else knows you ain't. Right? That's mama's love. But God's love is truth. All right, number four, and I'm done. Unplug from distractions. Man, in this society that we're in, unplug from distractions. Everybody knows how hard that is? Man, it is tough in the world we live in. You know, because it's so easy, you know, just to check an email. So easy to check on other people. Well, I ain't doing nothing. Let's see what everybody else is doing. All right? I mean, I do it too. I get on there. Instead of going to the Bible app, you go to the Facebook app, you go to the Snapchat app, you go to the Instagram app and see what everybody else is doing. And then if you're not careful, here's what you do. You live life through this phone, taking pictures of everything and not enjoying the moment that you're there. Amen. You know, we don't always do it. Well, we always do it at home. My youngest daughter's home from college. So glad to have you home, baby girl, for the summer. But at home, we... Unless like I'm expecting a phone call or something, we don't bring our phones to the dinner table. It's just something we're going to do. Usually when we go out to eat, we may check in where we're at or whatever, and then at some point in time, somebody go, okay, phone's down. And we try to put them down and enjoy each other's company. Right? Try to enjoy it. Because you know what? Your family, your members are growing up. My Lord, John Paul's been posting some discriminating pictures on there was, I don't even know who, them one, some kids, I don't have no idea who those kids were. But anyway, you know, they're going to grow up and they're going to be, and the moment's going to be lost. And unplug from distractions is very difficult to do. You think it's difficult? Try it. Try to pray 15 minutes without your phone. It's a good challenge. Try it. Try to read your Bible. I mean, the real one, the leather-bound real book. Yes. What are you saying to the book? Because for me, it's harder for me to read my Bible on the phone and not be distracted. Because if you're like me, I get notifications. I'm reading the Bible, and the Lord said that He loves everybody and He's going to bless it. Oh. Wow. For they that seek him, yes, seek him. Oh, they're in the hospital. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, touch them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, my God, that is a beautiful picture. I wonder, is that real? I wonder what filter did they use on that. That was just stinking incredible. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But the only notifications that I get when I read this book is a download from heaven. Amen. So let me just say, just try it. Just try it. Some of y'all are like, well, I'd have to find mine. I don't know where it's at. Whether your distractions are found in social media, mobile devices, toxic friendships. You know, in order to truly engage in a deeper relationship with Christ, sometimes you got to first understand the importance of unplugging from the infection of distraction. Some of you can't go deeper because you're just too shallow yourself. I said that out loud. I was thinking it, but I didn't think that I was going to say it literally out loud. But that's the truth. If you don't have any deep relationships with anybody, your relationship with Christ is probably very shallow also. This means you may need to take a time away from the current relationship. Now, let me just say this. If you're married, I'm not talking about you right now. You heard, Pastor, we're going to have to separate for a little while. Because you're on my last nerve. I just want you to know. No, that ain't what I said. Maybe break away from your current community of friends. Or even take a step back from social activities. See, some of us want to be involved in doing something all the time because you don't like yourself. And you don't want to be alone with you. In God. Some of the best times you can do is get along with God and let God deal with you. I don't like what I see. Well, good, let God deal with it. Amen. Listen, if I'm going to go, you know, my man Rodney can do about anything. But I know he don't know much about air conditioning. That's the one thing you don't know much about. So if my compressor breaks, I'm not calling Rodney. If I need a wooden cross, I'm going to call Rodney. If I needed something built, I'm calling Rodney because I know that's his thing, right? If I need somebody to play the keyboard, I'm not calling Pastor Steve. He can bang on. And if I need a heart transplant, I'm not calling Don. Because he's got one somewhere in that garage. That's right. Y'all would have to see his place to understand that. There's someone hid back there. Matter of fact, I really think it's his because he don't really use it most of the time. But anyway, I'm kidding. All right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is if I'm going to go to a physician, I'm not going to go to a podiatrist for a heart issue. And why do we keep going to people for an issue that only God can take care of? It's because we don't want to slow down. We don't want to slow down. We don't want to shut up. We don't want to sit down and let God deal with us. We want to be distracted and we want somebody else to tell us what to do instead of listening to what God has to say. And let him heal us and deal with us. Whatever your distraction may be, they are not worth keeping if they are hindering you from engaging in a relationship with Christ. The only person that truly matters is Christ. Can I tell you that if you get a good relationship with Christ, if somebody tells you, listen to me closely, because we're Pentecostal, we're people of extremes. If somebody tells you that, bless God, I'm a Christian and nobody likes me, you ain't got a good relationship with Christ. If everybody dislikes you, that's not a good relationship with Christ. You need to go back and spend some time with God. Now, not everybody's going to, I know everybody don't like me. Everybody can't be cool. I understand that. Everybody can't be friends with the cool crowd. Come on, somebody. I understand that. But I understand this, that if you get your relationship with Christ right, it's going to overflow into other relationships horizontally in multiple facets of your life. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And my last little slide is this. Give it to me, Roderick. Do away with distractions and fix your eyes on Jesus. That's the key, man. Do away with distractions and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The perfecter of our faith. Pursuing God. Pursuing Him. Stand to your feet. Pursuing spiritual growth. I want to go back. Are you playing that last one we did? Go back to that last song. I'll stand in awe. Come on, help me, guys. John, come this way. We'll be done by the time you get around there. Sorry. That's all right. Hey, they just doing, see, John doing what he knows to do. Go around. Don't be coming up through here, but I want him to come on because we're done. I want you to take a few moments. Yeah, just knock stuff off, baby. You just got back. That's right. Ain't nothing but money. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You got plenty of it. College kid. I just want you to ask yourself the question, God, what's holding me back? What's holding me back from pursuing you the way you want me to pursue you? Real simple. Remember four of them? Drop your guard. Serve God, serve people. Love without limits. And unplug from distractions. Listen, it's 29. Let's just take about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Throw your hands up in the air right where you're at. Forget about the distractions around you. And just ask the Lord, Lord, here I stand. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.